text in your motoring queries, because I'm glad you've come in, Michael Sheridan, because it's coming up to a bank holiday weekend, and every bank holiday weekend the same message is sent out from the Road Safety Authority to take care, to slow down, to drive slower. We've an awful lot of things to talk about, but you have some very specific messages for drivers coming up to the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, it's funny, and it's a very serious time on our roads, and we know that people will die over this coming weekend. The tragedy is there's a lot of phrases which are used which just wash completely over people's head. A pet hate that I have at the moment is everybody just saying this blanket, please slow down. It should be, please pay attention. Your drive is as important as the next person's drive, so you're sharing the road with other road users. So just be aware this weekend there'll be a lot of people who are out who've dialed down their sensitivities a bit because they're just out there relaxing. And if you have patience, and if you scan, and if you're just more aware of what's around you, particularly if you're going out of town, say if you've been driving in cities and towns, and predominantly that's what you do all year, and you decide to go to some location or venue, keep an eye out for out-of-town registration plates, particularly on newer cars, and just try and anticipate what could happen. Like, you're coming to a sightseeing place or a junction or an interchange. What's likely to happen? Well, people who don't know their way around are going to slow down. Some people will even make a dangerous exit off a motorway or a junction because they're not too familiar with their surroundings. So just anticipate what could possibly happen. And if everybody just paid that bit more attention, the roads would be a lot safer for people.
Yeah, it is true. When you're whizzing around somewhere you're really familiar with, like, I'm very familiar with Galway. I'm reasonably familiar with Cork. There's other cities. I'm not very familiar with driving around Limerick. I was down in Limerick recently, but I actually noted how completely unfamiliar. So I did have to slow down at certain places.
And
say,
the trouble
is, the Dublin Road, and what's the number on this road that I'm looking for?
And you imagine you're coming up against yourself, say, and you were on the last 10 minutes of your journey. You're so familiar with it, you're driving on automatic pilot, and then there's somebody who's slowing down who isn't doing what you normally expect them to do because it's your road, this is around your house, this is where you live. In the last 10% of a journey, that's when you're most likely to have your accident because you're switching off because you're already home and putting the kettle on. So it is really a case of people need to pay attention. And I mean, certain things have been put in the news to grab people's attention, like the increase in penalty points for certain offences, like speeding, holding a mobile phone or using a mobile phone, non-seatbelt compliance. That's gone up from 2 penalty points to 3 just at this weekend. So certain things are hitting the news to make people aware of their driving. And of course, we know that, look, penalty points, they're great. Too many people are picking them up. They're not necessarily always distributed in the most fair way, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, penalty points, if you rack them up, it's just going to be an excuse for your insurance company to put your insurance premium through the roof and for people to point. And gradually, it's becoming more and more socially unacceptable to be somebody who has got lots of penalty points.
So your message is take more care and
just
be aware
observe,
of other road users.
Be a bit
really,
more observant and know that people can be chilling and all the rest. And if you do anticipate slow traffic or everybody heading to the beach, try and get up that bit earlier, or else when you get into the car, say, look, there's going to be heavy traffic, and just be prepared for it.
But is it statistically proven, rather, that on bank holiday weekends, particularly summer bank holiday weekends, that road incidents go up?
I think it is. I couldn't put my finger on a document right now and say it is. But the reality is, because people are off, they're in a different frame of mind. They're holidaying, they're there. And at the end of it, they're coming back. They're jaded as well. And they're also dreading work. And they're working through all of the problems that they're going to have when they go into the office the following day or into work the following day. And their mind isn't necessarily on the task of driving.
Yeah. By the way, I never introduced you properly, Michael. It's Michael Sheridan, motoring journalist. And we have a president in later on. And you are chairman of
the Association of Professional Motoring Press. Which is, I feel like a South American dictator. I should have epaulets and I'm going to design my own uniform and give myself all of these South American type decorations. It's a bunch of motoring journalists, professional motoring journalists in Ireland, and we formed this year. We're having our own Car of the Year and Van of the Year awards on October 6th, so that'll be a bit of fun.
Oh, we'll have you back in for that. So you
are
the capo di tutti capi, as they would say.
I'm afraid so. I don't know why. I think it must have been a typing error.
You mentioned penalty points, and I should say tomorrow is a big day, isn't it? There are changes coming in.
Absolutely.
There are changes coming in relation to new plates that drivers have to wear. But you mentioned penalty points, so that's where I'm going to start. Yeah. What's the story with the penalty point increases?
Well,
as of tomorrow,
they're upping them, and purely it's going to be a way of attracting more attention to certain offences like speeding, like mobile phone use, like non-safety belt compliance. And really, it's the penalty point system is there to really be a pointed stick and to give us all a poke and remind people that, look, this has an impact on safety on the roads, but it will have an impact on you because you're off the road with 12 points. Or if you're a novice driver, you're off the road if you reach 7 points. So the trouble with that is by putting up the points, I think as well it's going to harmonise the points a little bit more with our friends just north of the border as well, because when speeding came out here, it was 2 points or 4 points if you appealed. In the north, it was 3 points, and in the UK, it was 3 points. So I can see ultimately harmony happening maybe throughout Europe. At the moment, it's impossible because we've got too much legislation that belongs to different states. But ultimately, there will be harmonisation, and literally anywhere you go, your points will be transferable and so on. And if you do speed in the UK, you'll get your points and you'll get your...
I was always very wary of that, travelling north of the border. I used to travel north of the border with my job years ago, an awful lot more than I do now, although I was up in Belfast recently and it is beautiful what they've done with that city. So,
absolutely.
But it always struck me when I crossed over the border from Northern Ireland back in the Republic that there were a lot of speeding vehicles with Northern registrations, and the other way
and
around,
vice
by
versa,
the way. I'm not forgiving anybody here.
The fine will catch you up. The fine catches up with you. And then if you do ever apply for a licence in that state where you did commit an offence, a note is taken and they will be put on your licence. So if you did apply for a UK licence in the north, Olin, and say if you had sped, paid a fine, points would be applied to that licence when you did go for it. But it's interesting as well, the differences with the north. Many of us who would have travelled up north in the old days to get the old duvet and the butter and the tinny USA assorted at Christmas and all the rest up in Jonesboro and things like this would have been familiar with an R plate, which you'd see on the back of a car, similar to an L plate. I think it was an orange R on a white square.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, well, what's that? And R was restricted, and it's still in place. Once you pass your test, your driving test in the north, you're restricted to 45 miles an hour, and this plate is on the car for a year. So regardless of who's driving it, that car is restricted to 45 miles an hour, and everybody knows that that person is a restricted driver. Well, what we're doing
here... the car is restricted.
The car is, yeah. If you don't cover up those R plates, you're still...
So if you borrow somebody's car and you're covered on their insurance,
yes,
and you have a full license and you've been driving for 10 years...
and if the R plates are visible, that car can only go at 45 miles
even
per
if you're
you
stopped
can,
by a car you, and you take out your driver license,
oh, yeah,
and say, look,
you can cover them up, and if you cover them up with whatever way you want to do it, then that's fine.
So is the R plate that we used to see in Northern Ireland, we still see in Northern
yes.
Ireland, is that now exactly equivalent to the N plate that's coming in tomorrow?
No, we have a system now which is coming in tomorrow, and this is a shock to a lot of people because it's strange. It's almost like sticking a target onto people, and it's also implying that our own driving test isn't sufficient. From tomorrow, if you pass your test, you will have to display an N plate on your car for 2 years. So this is similar to an L plate. It's on a white background. It's a big letter N. If you're a motorcyclist and you pass your test tomorrow, you will have to wear a tabard, which is like a high-vis vest, with the letter N on it as well. And this is to point out to other drivers that you're a novice driver. Statistically, RSA and organisations all throughout the world point out that as soon as you pass your test, what tends to happen is within the next 6 months, you're more likely to have a collision because you're driving unaccompanied. You think you're God's gift. Now, I'm sorry to be patronising there, but some people do think they're God's gift once they pass a test.
I'm going to put my hand up and say when I was a young 22-year-old and I got my first car, I was guilty of all of the clichés when I was a young
and
man.
That can happen, and particularly
so
men.
I don't feel so bad about kind of dragging out that cliche.
But what happens is within that 6 months, somebody can have a crash and can realise that they don't have experience. And in this case, you know, generally it's accepted experience is around about 60,000 miles or 100,000 kilometres. You really actually need to have either studied, done advanced driving or actively and keenly taken an interest in your driving to get experience. But the thing with N plates is it's going to be... it's going to run for 2 years. So you're going to have to have these on your car for 2 years. Now, there's no curfew as there is in some places like certain states in Australia and so on. There's no speed restriction on it. Also, when you pass your driving test, you're able to drive a motorway. So you'll still be able to drive on a motorway, which you'll be doing for your first time after passing your test on your own with an N plate. But you will have this N on your car. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got this image in my head of somebody late for a meeting, chewing a sandwich, driving a repmobile, sculling back a coffee, doing a dangerous overtake in a continuous white line, shaking their fist at an end driver who's being compliant with the speed limit.
With probably half a million miles clocked up over the years.
Yeah, which in on paper looks like a lot of experience. Now, the other thing as well is that the points are being doubled for a number of offences. So if... And also the drink drive allowance is being reduced. Now, nobody can argue with that. In fact, you know, the drink drive thing is another thing altogether. And a lot of people say it should all be down to, you know, to 0.2 for where it is for
20 milligrams.
20 mils, yeah, for professional drivers. For professional drivers and end drivers.
Yeah.
And the rest of us, it's 50 milligrams. But to be honest, you're better off not drinking and driving at all. Just and a lot of young people would tend to do that anyway, not drink and drive at all. But... points are doubled for speeding, seatbelt compliance, mobile phone use. So if an end driver gets up to 7 points, they're off the road for 6 months. So it really is beating down on inexperienced drivers. And statistically, yes, the 17 to 24s are in a high risk factor. But it does seem to be a little bit of bully boy tactics. And it's something which we shouldn't really have allowed to happen, because we should have made sure the training was sufficient and that if people pass a test to be competent to drive, that they're competent to drive.
I don't know. In any profession, it's the same as when I came in here as a radio producer. It's the same as my any previous job that I've ever had, and the same any hobby that I've ever had. You get better with experience. So I'm not 100% sure.
But there's ways of gaining experience as well.
You pass your test, that's absolutely fine. But it's like passing the Leaving Cert, or it's like getting a degree in, say, finance or in communications. You come out the far end, you get a job in the real world, and after about 4 or 5 years, you kind of say, my God, some of that stuff I learned in school and college, it's all very well on paper.
True.
But in the real world, and it can't be any different,
well,
surely, for
you know,
driving.
It's a fair point, but to be honest, if you took half the motorists with full licences who have them now and put them through even the theory test now, they'd fail. The reality is, I suppose things are moving on, but it does seem to be a little bit harsh. And I don't know if anybody, you know, in theory, we should be seeing a lot more cars with L plates on them, but we don't, because people are, you know, consciously aware that if they have an L plate on their car, they're almost a target for abuse. And in the same way, cutting slack for somebody with an N plate on their car, I wonder what the compliance will be. Now, in order to have compliance, they've made it a penalty point offence and a potentially a fine of up to €1,000.
Okay.
So they're trying to play hardball, but I just wonder how many people will be compliant and have an end plate.
Yeah, indeed. There's also the cred factor. When you're a young man and woman, maybe, and you get your driving licence and you're so thrilled, and then you find, God, I have to wear this N thing on my car here.
You don't want to.
Your instinct is not to want to.
Also,
but
when
you
were
learning, must be an offence not to have it displayed if you are a recent
so it's going to be an offence. And the thing is, you can't even act as a qualified driver for somebody who's learning. At the moment, anybody who's learning who goes out on the road has to have a qualified driver with them. A sober qualified driver, can I say, because a lot of people use their children who are learning to drive as taxi pickups from the pub. You must be sober if you're accompanying a learner driver and have a full licence for 2 years. But a novice driver with an end plate for 2 years, they won't be able to accompany or act as a qualified driver for somebody who's learning to drive.
Is this going to affect people's insurance as well? These
potentially
plates?
It could. I think it's going to give an opportunity to the insurance industry to push up premiums. And again, they'll just say, but look, the state says you're a high risk, so of course we're going to charge you more because we're taking more risk on with you. So it seems a little bit unfair, and it's one of those things where statistics are backing up something which just doesn't sit well.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are very exercised about cyclists. I know you're a motoring correspondent. I'll throw them at you anyway.
I'm a motorcyclist as well.
This is cycling. Cycling on footpaths is never tackled, and nobody seems to care or do anything about it until somebody gets killed. That's one texter. Please put a number on bicycles, and that way we can report them when they break the law. That's
well, that was something that they looked at in terms of bicycles having insurance, that, you know, a bike would have to be registered. And apart from having a code on the frame, putting a number onto it, I think it just seems to be impractical. But I can see where a lot of people are coming from with that.
New penalty points sound good in theory, but they will not be applied, says one texter. I meet lots of motorists still using their mobile phones. Yeah, that is true, actually.
There's a ridiculous amount of people using their mobile phones. And even with this shift, Olin, to cars integrating with mobile phones, like systems like Mirror Link and these things, and Sync with Ford and so on, a lot of car companies realise that they can't keep up with the changes in phone technology with their in-car tech. So they're making ways of just linking or mirroring what's on your phone and the apps that that are on your phone and then getting them to appear on the screen in the car. And it gets around the legal problems of actually touching or interacting with a phone. But you can still have, I was driving Peugeots and Citroens recently that had this system in it, and you can interact with apps that were on your phone, but they were on the screen in the car. So because they were on the screen in the car, they were part of the car, so I wasn't breaking any laws. But if I touched the same one, if it was on a phone, even if the phone was in a cradle, I'd be committing an
offence. Do you not think manufacturers, though, are really behind the curve here? They haven't really offered, they haven't kept up with technology in terms of communications technology. See, I mean, we use it.
Yeah, they find it very hard. I mean, there's only a few companies in the last number of years that have put in Wi-Fi, or the potential to have a Wi-Fi hotspot in your car, and putting in a data sim. I remember a couple of years ago, Audi, I think, were the first with it, with an A6 and so on. And that's something that you can get. But because the development of a new car takes such a long period of time, and dashboards in particular are incredibly complex, there's over 200 components in just a dashboard, a normal dashboard in a car, they can't keep up with the tech. I suggested years ago that they just put a dock space in there that you could plug in your tablet, your iPad, your whatever, and just leave the space there, because the people driving the cars will have better tech than that screen. Years ago, luxury was, say, if you were buying a Lexus years ago, Lexus luxury car, lovely car. But when they came out, first of all, if you wanted an in-car sat-nav, and they were one of the first offers, and then fair play to them, they gave you a lot of goodies. But it was something like $5,000 you had to pay. You know, now that cost has come way down, and yet you can have a tablet or a phone which has got better tech than this screen in your car, which the salesman has told you, oh, you need to spend an extra X amount of this to get this fantastic screen. And you're going, it's rubbish. My child's little Tonka toy has more tech in it than
that
screen.
It's not the only area of life where technology is racing much further than our ability to legislate for it. I mean, God, there's loads of text coming in, Michael. You're really getting people worked up here. And what happens if the driver doesn't put up end signs? Well, we've answered that.
There's penalty points and an offence. Up to a €1,000 fine.
Okay. End plates are a great idea. Experience counts. Why did it take us so long to introduce something so obvious? I have three boys ready to start driving. God bless you, Stephen.
But in the same way there should be driver's ed in school, you've got people campaigning for years like Rosie Smith and Tony Toner and these people who are going into schools. Rosie has a great thing where she goes in to transition your students and trains them up. We should have driver's ed as a mandatory part. You should leave school with a driving licence. It should be required. And if you learn the right way in the system of driving, like when I was learning to ride a motorcycle, I learned the police system of motorcycle control, and you go and learn that, and then you've got the best preparation you have for going out on the road and interacting with people. And these things are important.
Okay, answer these very briefly. And yes. Fire them at you really quickly, because I want to talk about driverless cars. I think this is a great idea. Anyway, would you ask Michael why there is no uniformity of signs around the country? Where I live, there are 80-kilometre signs on bog road, says Olivia.
I know.
Olivia, this is one of the biggest cans of worms. I'd say now this is going to spark off 100 other texts.
You've got the National Roads Authority who have standardised signs. They control all the motorways and dual carriageways and so on. The trouble happens when you interact the NRA stuff with county councils and town councils and so on, who can then pick a la carte whatever they want and also impose their own speed limits and so on. There's meant to be continual reviews of this, but yes, I've driven down roads with grass growing up the middle with 100 kilometre an hour speed limits on them. It's crazy.
Yeah. Why are there no penalty point fences for driving a vehicle with bald and defective tyres, asks Colm.
I think you can be prosecuted for that.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily penalty points, but it's not legal either, is it?
No, it's not legal, and it's highly dangerous. And it's something where you run the risk of a blowout, and then, God forbid, if there's a shower or rain or something like that, your grip is massively compromised.
One more quickie before we get to our driverless cars. Hi, guys. I'd like to ask Michael, is it illegal to undertake on motorways?
Yeah, it depends on how you deem undertake. Yes, the letter of the law, undertaking on a motorway is illegal. If you're in a flow of traffic, If you imagine the left lane, which is the lane you're always meant to be driving in, you're obliged under the traffic acts to drive on the left-hand carriageway unless you are overtaking or gaining access to property and so on. So you're meant to always be in on the left lane. So if you imagine the left lane is lane one, lane two is the next one, lane three if you're on the M50 or some of these places, you're always meant to pull back in to the left lane. Nobody's meant to hog a lane and so on. Now, if somebody is hogging a lane, it's not your duty to act as police officer and to undertake them and shake the fist and then pull out in front of them again. You're meant to be driving in the left lane. If you're in a flow of traffic and your lane is moving more quickly than the lane outside you, then that's fine. It's not deemed as undertaking. But any act where you clearly can be seen going underneath somebody so you can gain a bit more tarmac in front of you is called undertaking. And if there are guards around, they'll have words.
They'll have words with you. You've been looking now at Google's driverless cars.
Yeah.
How far away are driverless cars?
Well, driverless cars, they're here. They're just not being used here. And what we've heard as well is that in the UK in January 2015, they're going to be launching their first public trial of these driverless cars. We've all heard way back into the 50s, and the military were behind a lot of this, the whole notion of driverless drones, the equivalent of aircraft drones, having cars and trucks, particularly trucks for the military, that can deliver ordnance and so on through minefields and so on and without having to interact with people. Google have a sort of a pretty cartoon-looking machine, which they've got on trial. They've done about 700,000 kilometres on it in California at the minute. And it uses a whole load of sensors between cameras, radar and laser to detect what's around it and what's potentially going to collide with and where it needs to go, and also uses GPS, of course. So using a whole load of tech, it knows where it wants to go. Now, it's restricted to 25 miles an hour. The ones in the UK, when they trial start, they're looking at nominating three cities in the UK to start in January to trial driverless cars. I think they'll be restricted to 45 miles an hour max. And literally, these are cars which drive by themselves. So in theory, are they cars? Are they shuttles? Are they something from a science fiction movie? I think they're more something from a science fiction movie that really shouldn't be called a car.
Like the Arnie one where he goes to Mars. What's that?
Yeah, but he has a Johnny Cab.
Johnny Cab.
Johnny Cab.
What's the movie called? It's called Total Recall.
The rubbish one. R. Colin made a much better version of that.
You reckon?
Well, let's just leave Total Recall.
Let's just leave Total Recall behind.
But surely,
you know, the vast majority of accidents, let's face it, are called by human error. They're not caused by mechanical problems.
It's the nut behind
the wheel.
So is
this not a good thing? I mean, in 50 years' time, will we be taking these things for granted?
Well, the funny thing is, in 50 years' time, will it be even legal to drive a car on your own? That's the bigger concern. I mean, I'm a great believer in, you know, we're cowboys and we have our horses. We love to go out and about, but we love to be able to go out for a gallop and all the rest. And that's the thing. These are automated shuttles, you know, and they sound so fantastic. The fact that you could, press an app on your phone, one of these turns up at your door, you say, right, take me to the pub. Off it goes, down to the pub, down to the restaurant, take me wherever I'm going. And then it goes off. And you say, park it yourself, or else it goes off and does another job. And then it comes back and gets you whenever you want.
Yeah.
And then it brings you wherever it is. It's not really a car. It is a form of transportation. But that technology has been around for quite some time. The truck industry has been using it for quite some time, and we're looking at road trains in the future where there'll literally be, you know, a dominant truck at the front and a whole lot of trucks in behind it, all electronically connected and going down the road.
Now, there's loads more truck that you mentioned that, and God, we're coming up to Newark, so you'll have to be quick on this one. But the trucks in London, isn't it? Isn't Boris Johnson pushing this whole thing?
Now, he's doing another thing with trucks, which is great news for cyclists, and this is brilliant news. And for about £800, they can adapt a truck, so the truck will get rid of all its blind spots. Now, anybody who's on a bicycle or in a car, when you look at a truck, if you're behind a truck, if you can't see its mirrors, its wing mirrors on either side, if you can't see its mirrors, at least one of those, it can't see you. And particularly at the front, we've recently had a Cyclops mirror at the front, so the driver can actually see who's directly in front of the truck. But a truck driver potentially has this massive blind spot area, which cyclists unfortunately often stray into. And then when there's a collision between a soft thing and a truck, the soft thing always loses. But with technology, cameras, sensors, they've got this in place now, and these trucks are being rolled out, and hopefully in the future we'll have trucks which won't allow themselves to collide with cyclists.
So this is, it's a real combination of what we're talking about.
Combination of tech, which is already there, and you can get it in cars already, even a Nissan Micra with the safety shield. You can get all of these things. The technology is there, and it's going to be put into trucks, and hopefully in the future we won't see collisions between cyclists and trucks.
Yeah. Louise Mackesy is in Limerick, and she's looking forward. I knew Louise Mackesy in Limerick. Hello, Louise Mackesy in Limerick. She's looking forward to driverless cars because it could well see the end of boy racers, road rage and speeding through housing estates.
And Louise, you'd be able to do your makeup and nobody would be shaking their fist at you for putting on your mascara when you're in a queue of traffic. Did I say that out loud? We have to be balanced.
Says you wearing your Cookie Monster t-shirt.
Actually, it's Animal.
Oh no, it's drummer. Animal, the drummer from the Muppets.
Yep.
How appropriate for you as a driving correspondent.
Well,
now, wouldn't you like to see him behind the wheel of a car? I'm going to get a couple more texts in, but let's take a break first of all. A couple of more quick texts here. Astonishingly, last week I hit my 63rd birthday. The fact that I hit my 18th all those years ago is a minor miracle. From September 68 to September 69, I had no less than 18 collisions, some quite spectacular, and wound up with a total of one stitch. And this was pre-seatbelts. Of course, it was never my fault, says Sean in Rialto.
Well, Sean, one of Ireland's greatest stuntmen, just never acknowledged this.
Interestingly, I remember reading a statistic that the number one cause of deaths in amongst men in the 1930s in the UK were road traffic accidents. I must check that out, because even though there were far fewer cars on the road,
Nobody knew how to interact with them.
And when cars first came into widespread uses, principally in the United States in the early part of the 20th century, roads were places for children to play primarily.
Absolutely.
And occasionally a horse box or a horse carriage or one of these newfangled motor cars would come by.
Absolutely.
But roads were actually places for families and children.
And it
took a few decades for that transition to be made, where roads were primarily for vehicles.
And it's crazy now, because the population, the car population, has just gone through the roof. And we've got a lot more people sharing the roads now.
Yeah, we do. Yes, you can be prosecuted, but that entails... This is about...
Bald tyres.
Yes, you can be prosecuted, says Colm, but that entails court and cost of prosecution. Gardaí have no fixed penalty ticket to issue. Sorry for not making this clear, says Colm. Well, he did actually in his previous email, editor, but that is a good point. I've had a full driving licence for 19 years, and now I have a provisional licence for a Jeep and trailer. Will I have to display an end plate if and when I pass the Jeep and trailer test? Thanks, says John in Offaly.
I don't think so, because you've already had a licence. The period only applies once to the first vehicle that you were qualified in. And if it was your first time going for the Jeep and trailer thing, you probably would, but you would have got a car licence before the Jeep and trailer thing. So no, you won't have to have end plates for that one.
Okay.